News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What is up, Dalton?
Hey, Dan.
Welcome back, my man.
Thank you. It's good to be back in the seat.
FM Talk 106.5. You're not gone from the seat very often. Sean was having with Dalton withdrawals. And he said, do you want to have a moment to yourself? Are you okay? And he was like, you know what, Dalton is, we've been working straight through for the last several years. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been without Dalton for so long. And there he is with his family going on vacation.
Yeah, trying to keep.
Very, very spiteful.
We took lots of pictures. I broke out the GoPro that I've had for 3 years now. I broke it out for second time.
So what did you do with the GoPro?
Man, just tried to get as much video as I could. So, this is a family trip, and it's so weird being connected constantly to the news cycle, just 24/7. You know, maybe I'll take an hour off here or there, sleep for maybe 4 hours a night. So really,
it's connected. New to me, but I get it completely. It's like now I've got to be hyper aware of what's going on.
I'd say I'm connected to the news and what's happening at least 18 hours a day, and have been for years now. And so to have a full week where the plan was to not pay any attention at all,
could you?
No, I still was trying to see what was going on. I just wasn't going as in depth as I normally would to try to read up on some of these news stories, but it was strange and refreshing to be able to kind of disconnect for a little bit. But it's weird being a part of something for so long and then stepping away. I was having withdrawals from being here.
Yeah.
Also, as strange as that sounds,
we were speculating, mm-hmm. didn't know for sure, but we thought that working here would be a breeze next to doing the family vacation.
Yeah. So this was our first actual Arwig family vacation, just the three of us, my wife, me, and our now 20-month-old daughter. So our first little trip, that's why we chose Jacksonville, wasn't too far away. And it ended up being a strange, fact-finding mission, or at least observing, as we're now just over 2 weeks heading into the election. Our first day last Saturday, so a week from this last Saturday, we went up to Savannah, Georgia to see the in-laws. Now, Savannah right there near the South Carolina line,
right.
And both of those states vital and have huge races coming up for the November election. So watching TV and watching college football last Saturday in Georgia, it was a nonstop barrage of political ads, just one right after the other. And it's something we don't see very often here now. We do when there are a lot of contested races, but really the only people advertising on TV that I've seen in our area are the occasional presidential campaign ad.
Yep.
And then you'll see Tuberville and you'll see Jones every now and then. But you go to a place like Savannah, Georgia, the political ads are nonstop, and all of the elections up there are a battle to death almost. They're going after each other so hard. And then to go from Savannah down to Jacksonville, Florida, it was kind of the same, but more presidential campaign ads than I have seen anywhere else. It's just one right after the other when you're in the Jacksonville market, because Florida is such a big battleground state.
It is a huge state, but we should be seeing some of those from Pensacola too, the Pensacola market. Maybe if we watch more of WEAR, mm-hmm. we would see more of those, because you're right, there's really not a lot of sense in doing a lot of advertising in Alabama, because we are pretty sure we know which way that's going to go. It's
right.
Going to go as hard to Trump as any state in the nation.
Yeah, and especially this close to the election, money becomes a huge concern.
Yeah, pick your spots where you're going to spend. Don't spend where you don't need to.
And the Trump campaign in 2016 was able to do just huge amounts of grassroots donations and campaigning from the ground level up. Well, they're being outspent right now pretty handily by the Biden campaign. Almost double, really. Reading this latest report, they said Democrats have been spending $141 million on political advertising compared to the president's $70 million. And that's kind of forced the Trump campaign to make some changes here. They said they've retreated from TV advertising in the Midwest, the Trump campaign has, and have shifted a lot of their advertising to Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. And in two of those states here in the last week and a half, I can say that's certainly true. Lots of Trump ads in Georgia and Florida. And then you see the same thing with the Democrats, but with their cash haul right now, they're able to just advertise everywhere.
Yeah, and you wonder if, we hear these whispers that the Democrats, Biden could win Georgia, and I'm thinking, really? I mean, I lived in Georgia for a long time, and I don't think things have changed there that much, unless the city of Atlanta or the Atlanta suburbs are going to be such a large part of that equation. I still think that Trump is pretty safe in Georgia. North Carolina, you know, that's one of those states where there may be legitimate concern.
Yeah, there really could be. And, you know, regarding Georgia and with the president, from what I saw, you know, the yard sign test, which we've been talking about a lot on the air over the last few weeks, I saw a ton of Trump-Pence signs in Georgia. Did not see very many Biden-Harris signs. But then again, I was in Savannah, a place that's more like Mobile than Atlanta. Is for sure, and I think what you said is so spot on that these metro areas in Georgia would be where the Democrats are looking to gather a stronghold for sure. But in Florida, and I thought it was interesting, this story out from Fox News, they said 2020 campaign signs for both President Trump and Joe Biden are being vandalized and stolen in Florida. According to Action News Jacksonville, which I listened to and watched a little bit while I was over there, they interviewed some residents about what they're doing now to prevent their property from being robbed or damaged, and talking about these signs that they put on their property. One person said she put up a Biden-Harris sign, first time she's ever put her political leanings out for the world to see. She said by Wednesday morning it was gone, so just over a couple days and that sign was taken out. And the same can be said for a lot of people that are putting Trump signs out. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, just traveling here in Alabama, Mobile counties, Baldwin counties, even in my neighborhood, there are a couple Biden-Harris signs, a couple Doug Jones signs, and then just a couple Trump-Pence signs. And you'll see them here and there. Of course, you see the Make America Great Again 2020 flags that are behind so many boats and on so many trucks. Those are pretty obvious. But in Florida, it seems like every single person just about has a political sign or some kind of flag out in front of their house. And some of the neighborhoods I was driving through, and we went out to TPC Sawgrass, a fantastic golf course out outside of Jacksonville. And
good for you. You saw it, huh?
Oh, it was amazing.
Wow.
But some of the neighborhoods around there, it's almost like every other house, you'll have a Biden-Harris sign, and the next house a Trump sign, next house a Biden-Harris sign. And
they feel free to let their feelings be known.
Exactly. That's what I kind of figured out, is it seems that because, and maybe it's hand in hand with how much political advertising is happening on TV and in the radio markets there, but it seems like people are much more willing to show which way they're leaning politically heading into this election in Florida, because I've never seen so many political yard signs out in one place. And actually, while we were in Jacksonville, I made a little side trip to Yulee High School. It's about 14 miles northeast, I think, of Jacksonville. It's where Derrick Henry, former Alabama running back, dominated in high school.
Yes, he did.
So we took a little trip out there. That place has to have per capita the most Trump-Pence signs of anywhere in America. Every single property had at least one, two flags flying, signs in their yard. And, you know, we pulled into Yulee High School. I wanted to see the football field where Derrick Henry dominated for so many years. Couldn't figure out why there were so many people in the parking lot. We were there during the school day. I just randomly pulled into this high school and was driving around. Surprised I didn't get a call from the police.
There is that. It is a school where they go to school.
Yeah.
FM Talk 106.5, Dalton's Adventures in Jacksonville. 8:15 on FM Talk 106.5. Hello, y'all. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. We both had trips over the weekend. Dalton's was to Jacksonville. Mine was to Baldwin County. So you can see which one of us has got gas in the car. But 8:21 at FM Talk 106.5. But I got to tell you, all in Baldwin County, bless your heart, because you have got a lot of damage on the ground and a lot to be cleaned up. And we're hearing on the text line the different folks alerting us as to how they're doing with what they're doing. And hang in there. Mm-hmm. I know that help is there. Help is on the way. But it's going to be a long haul.
Yeah, it certainly will. Lots of debris, and I know the daily update from Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, I think the latest he said, about 83% of the debris has been picked up, something right around there, 83%.
Hello, me.
And you're part of the 17%.
I'm in the 17 percentile.
But you have to imagine Baldwin County is going to take so much longer to pick up. You said, you saw a lot of debris, but not just limbs and sticks, but debris as in full-size trees that were down in yards.
Take a look at our Facebook page. I've also got it on my personal Facebook page, but and let me know what you see. Let me know what you're dealing with. You can do that on the text line, too. At one point, I came down Highway 91, I think it was, ended up at a bluff overlooking the Escambia Bay, and there was all kinds of damage in this neighborhood, I guess is what it was. I don't know what it was, or if it was more of a rural setting with a few property owners there, I couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. But then they were doing, like, what it really looks like in real life before the hurricane hit, I couldn't tell you what it looked like. And they were moving all kinds of debris with different equipment, and I said, I got to get out of here to let them do what they had to do. So, anyway, my heart's on your side, and we're trying to figure out exactly what you need at this point, but it's rough over there. All right, so Trump, Biden, mm-hmm. both on the campaign trail this weekend.
Yeah, so I mentioned, over in Florida, I saw so many different political signs, much, much more than I've seen anywhere in Alabama. And Doug, who was talking about this story where political signs have been stolen in Florida, he said the signs being stolen is like someone breaking and entering to steal your earthly possessions, but they can't steal what is in your heart. So, yeah, I don't think any stealing any of the yard signs is changing any votes one way or the other. It's just people are so fired up about this election. And, of course, it only makes sense. And I saw so many different signs. BJ here, who says he's AKA Florida man on the text line. He said, Jacksonville native here, north side of Jacksonville, solidly Republican, south side leaning Democratic, Jacksonville, Duval County, a melting pot of people. And then Yule Lee, the city I visited, right outside of Jacksonville, he said that's in Nassau County and is solidly red. So a good update there from BJ, aka the Florida man. But last week I was trying to stay out of the news cycle. I did know that Biden and Trump had dueling town halls. I think Biden's on ABC and Trump's on CBS. Is that right?
And Trump is on NBC.
NBC, okay.
Savannah Guthrie,
and she was criticized one way or the other for her performance with Trump. But like I said, I didn't watch those. So over the weekend, lots of campaigning. I mean, 15 days away today from that November 3rd election. And I know Biden and Trump were basically on opposite sides of the country, but both in battleground states that haven't been won by their parties in a while.
I don't think Trump's going to stop. In between here and Election Day, I think there's very few days where he's not going to be in front of a microphone or several microphones stumping along. Here's what he talked about yesterday at one of his stops. I'm not even sure which one. Could have been Nevada, talking about get things open.
But New York should be open. Michigan now has to open because of the court case. North Carolina should be open. They should be open. You guys, you want to open? Yeah, you want to open. Pennsylvania has to open. I mean, we have places, and sometimes they're open, but they're partially open. They're not open like they should be. Get the places open. Let's go. Let's go.
Donald Trump from yesterday. I think that's going to be more of his theme. Also, has been just putting Joe Biden and Hunter Biden behind bars, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Yeah,
what do you call them? Like a mafia?
He called the Biden family a criminal enterprise.
Criminal enterprise.
This was at the Nevada rally yesterday, and after he said that, the crowd began chanting, lock him up. But, a lot about Hunter Biden has been in the news recently since that New York Post story last week. But, during his rally yesterday in Nevada, the president said Biden's family was a criminal enterprise. He said, did you see what's happening with Biden? He's a corrupt politician. One supporter started yelling, lock her up. That reference for Hillary Clinton back in the 2016 campaign. And then Trump stopped that supporter and corrected and said, no, lock him up. He said Joe Biden is and always has been a corrupt politician. He always has been, and as far as I'm concerned, the Biden family is a criminal enterprise. It really is. So, of course, the crowd absolutely eating that up. Meanwhile, Biden campaigning across the country, he seems to continue to be hitting the president on the Trump administration's coronavirus response.
Yep.
And yesterday he said the president continues to lie to us about coronavirus, one of the many things Biden spoke of yesterday.
So many people are hurting. Over half the people in America said they got a bill for $400 they didn't expect in 1 month they wouldn't be able to pay it. They have to borrow the money or they have to sell something. Folks, unemployment times are hard. Unemployment's way up. Just this week, 1,200,000 people filed for unemployment. Folks are worried about making their next mortgage payment or rent payment, whether their health care will be ripped away in the middle of a pandemic, worried about sending their kids to school, worried about not sending their kids to school. They see folks at the top, they're doing better than ever, while they're left to wonder, who's looking out for me? Well, that's Donald Trump's presidency. More than 217,000 Americans dead because of COVID-19. Nearly 4,000 here in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah, that's his speech brought to you by AMCO, AA, beep, beep, MCO. So that was kind of odd, but I guess it had to do with social distancing and coronavirus protocols.
Yeah.
People were in their car. It was like a drive-in movie, I guess.
And you see the Trump rallies on TV.
Wide open.
Trump campaign rallies. Yeah, not quite to the level they were in 2016.
Yeah.
A lot more excitement and I think more of a circus, you know, what's going on down there kind of vibe to the 2016 campaign. But still, tons of people packing out the Trump campaign rallies, which have been outdoors. The Biden rally, I think they're really going this coronavirus route and saying they're sticking to CDC guidelines, and whether that's to deflect from the amount of people that are actually showing up. But you heard from the car horns, at least some people showed up to the Biden rally yesterday.
It's kind of funny. I mean, when you hear him doing it, and their approval is not in applause or cheering him on, but it's kind of like, okay, I guess that means that the rally's going well?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, the Trump campaign, if you look at the poll numbers, they feel they have some to overcome heading into this election here in 2 weeks, and the Biden campaign taking the opposite tact that the Hillary campaign took heading into the 2016 election, where her poll numbers were looking good for her team as well. And, of course, we all know what happened in that election with President having a upset victory over Hillary Clinton. The Biden campaign is saying, look, we think the polls are actually a lot closer than they're showing you right now, and you know, they're trying to keep spirits up and keep people voting. And so far, with this absentee voting and early mail-in voting, over 28 million people have voted, which would be about 20% of the number of votes for the 2016 election, and we're still 15 days out here.
Don Davis said all-time record in Mobile County. Our probate judge, and I saw the line wrapped around Mardi Gras Park on Saturday, people getting their absentee ballots. It's 8:29, let's call it 8:30 now, FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, how y'all doing?
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, so a fantastic weather weekend. I'm sure you had tons of folks show up at McConnell this weekend.
Oh, we did. We had the game zone, had some food floating around. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Everybody got some pizza this past weekend. Got some great fresh trades too. We'll have them up on the internet here shortly. Gene's out here taking pictures right now. We're about to get everything going here. We got all those pre-owned certified GMs sitting out here, which gives you an extra 12 on the warranty, which is a great deal. Don't forget you got still $6,000 on GMC pickup trucks, which is totally unheard of. I'm sitting here looking at a couple of the 21 Yukons we got left right now for the new ones. The other ones get back in. We got some more coming in. Got some more trucks, 21 trucks coming in. So you can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget, we'll buy your car. Call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. Give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. Go see him. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So, Saturday night, I was just so tired. There was a big game on, but I was a little bit whipped. And for my exhaustive travelings that day in Baldwin County, Georgia was leading at the half, so I hit the hay, I'll be honest with you.
Really? You thought it was a done deal?
I'm thinking, you know, we look good. Not really.
No chance Bama was coming back
Yeah, there's no chance, right? Anyway, congratulations, Alabama. Nice win, and the wide receivers they've got at Alabama, they just embarrass you. It doesn't matter what kind of defensive backs you got, they're not good enough.
Hey, your team took the annual Bama beating this last weekend. My team gets to line up and do the same this weekend.
It's not going to be fun, Dalton.
It will not be fun.
I mean, you know, just weed whack the yard, do something. Don't sit there watching that stuff. It's FM Talk 106.5, serious story that is still happening right now, and it's got to do with some children who were abducted in Mississippi on Friday.
Yeah, Amber Alert still under effect right now, as a woman, Sarah Caswell, is believed to have abducted her two children from Mississippi, from Pascagoula, Mississippi, on Friday. And earlier we talked with WKRG's Chad Petrie, who gave us some more information on this Amber Alert.
Let me see if I can just make sure I have the exact information here. An Audi A4 2.0 with Alabama plates, 2BA2195. Now, that was as of Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. We did speak with an official with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. They told us they wanted to get that Amber Alert out earlier than before dawn Sunday morning. They wanted to do it sometime Saturday when they realized that this woman may be coming to the Mobile area. Now, the only reason they believe that Sarah Caswell may be traveling to this area is that they believe she has residence here at a prior time. We're told that they've checked out several locations in Mobile County. So far, they haven't found them. But ideally, when you put out an Amber Alert, you want to put it out at a time when you believe the abductor and children are traveling on the road so that other drivers may see it. I know I saw those Bayway signs flash up with the Amber Alert first thing Sunday morning when I came into work. So it is something that they're trying to keep people aware of, but officials just wanted to get that word out even earlier than they already did.
So let me give you it again. The vehicle being used, at least it was at one point, a 2007 silver Audi, and it's an A4 2.0 and an Alabama license plate of 2BA2195. If you see that vehicle, or if you see their children, Caden Wall, described as a white male, 6 years old, 3 feet and 6 inches tall, weighing 120 pounds, with brown eyes, brown hair. Colden Wall is described as a white male, 2 years old, 2 feet and 3 inches tall, weighing 40 pounds, brown eyes, brown hair. And you also see the picture of the mom. You know, it's on the website right now. You can take a look at her and them and the car, and you know, your help is needed.
Yeah, and now we're past those crucial 48 hours, the first 48 hours. So lots of people out looking for this woman and these two children. But, you know, listening to Mobile County Sheriff's Office Captain Paul Burge, he said at one point this woman threatened to kill the boys. So that's all hands on deck right now, and they're working out of the FBI Mobile office. So if you see that car, see these kids, just call 911, and they'll get you taken care of. But a tough story. And I've wondered about that as well, with this alert coming out in the overnight hours. And this one woke me up, too. You know, I was back here in Mobile, and a 1:45 a.m. alert. You wake up. And,
Friday night, right? Friday night, Saturday morning?
Well, that's what I thought. They took the kids on, or she allegedly took the kids Friday afternoon in Pascagoula.
Yes.
I thought the alert came in Friday night into Saturday morning. Listening to Petrie there, I think maybe it didn't come in until overnight Saturday night into Sunday morning. But when you wake up, if you were asleep when you get an alarm like that at 1:45, and this isn't the first time this has happened. I've seen silver alerts. I've seen other amber alerts, things that you should probably be be worried about. But when it happens and you wake up overnight, it's almost like you forget about it. You look at it, put it away, you go back to sleep, wake up in the morning, and either you've completely forgotten about it or assume that it's been taken care of. So I've wondered about that too, and it seems like there was an issue with this specific Amber Alert where the Pascagoula, they were trying to get this alert out much earlier than it was when people were actually out traveling on roads and may have seen this woman's vehicle, but that's not what happened. They sent it overnight at 1:45 a.m. and then didn't send a second alert out either.
So the reason that they didn't send the alert out the second time or multiple times has got to do with the procedure that they follow with the Amber Alerts, right? It's got to do with, well, there's no further information, therefore we can't just send one again.
Yeah, there are certain specific rules that they follow with these Amber Alerts. Like, there have been times in the past where a child has been abducted and the family's calling for an Amber Alert to be sent out to everyone. But if they have reason to believe that the child's in custody of another, you know, family member, or it has to rise to a certain level for them to actually put out this Amber Alert. So yeah, they only sent it out the one time, and it was early Sunday morning, I believe, and didn't send out a second. But obviously, you got to keep your eyes out because this Amber Alert's still in effect.
The vehicle being used again is a 2007 silver Audi A4 2.0 bearing Alabama license plate 2BA2195. That's 2BA2195. This was a story that I saw as I was kind of compiling what we might be talking about today over the weekend. It was Saturday. It was Saturday afternoon, I think, that I came across this story, and praying and hoping that certainly by Monday morning that we wouldn't have this story in front of us. It would have been resolved, and calmer heads would have prevailed, and the kids would have been taken care of, because so many people aware now that the children had been abducted. But so far, the silence is kind of eerie, and it's not good.
Right, yeah, and we'll obviously keep you updated when we get an update on this. Hopefully that Amber Alert ends, and these kids are put in good hands by the end of the day, but we'll keep you updated right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Lots of local talk, including Mr. Jeff Poor. Very interesting show. I can tell you that in advance of the show and just tell you it's going to be interesting because Jeff has always got a great lineup of guests and great perspective on Alabama politics, Alabama government, national politics, really, with the big presidential election. He'll be hitting that pretty hard in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the deadline to vote, deadline to register to vote is today. Doug Jones spending and raising a lot more money than Tommy Tuberville. Will it really matter? And where is Doug Jones' money coming from? Let you know more coming up.
Yeah, out of state, right? FM Talk 106.5 at 8:45. FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice, 343-0106, if you like. Doug says, Doug Jones goes around singing an old Beach Boys song, "I Wish They All Could Be California Girls." So Cali's where his money's coming from, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's raised, it's actually surprising to me how much money Doug Jones has raised.
Because on a national... It's a national focus.
That's exactly right. He's getting a lot of national money because right now it looks like this might possibly be the only Senate seat that Republicans are able to flip. And obviously, Republicans spending a lot of time and money making sure they don't lose some of the other seats they have right now in battleground states. But reminder, today is the deadline to register to vote for the November 3rd election, and multiple ways you can register to vote if you haven't already. And talking with our audience, I'm sure most, if not all, everyone who plans to vote is and has been registered for a time now. But if you haven't registered to vote, you can go to alabamavotes.gov or the mobile app Vote for Alabama, or by doing it the old-fashioned way and visiting your registrar's office to register to vote. But today is the deadline to register to vote. And stories coming out, we're getting some, I guess, near-final results on campaign fundraising. And the most recent numbers from Senator Doug Jones' campaign, they raised $10 million $1 million and spent $10.7 million during the third quarter. And over the entire course of his campaign, Jones reports raising $26.8 million. So far has spent $22.2 million and says they still have nearly $8 million in hand.
Wow.
Tuberville's campaign, on the other hand, they raised $3.3 million during the third quarter, spent $2.1 million. But over the course of the entire campaign, raised $6.5 million overall and spent nearly $5 million. So the discrepancy there, pretty staggering, with the Doug Jones campaign raising $27 million and the Tuberville campaign $6.5 million. But does it really matter?
Yeah.
You look at the poll numbers.
What does it matter? I mean, so they've the Democrats have raised a lot of money for Doug Jones. Good for him. They look at it like it's more of a national race, national significance, mm-hmm. for sure, that you have currently a Democrat in the Senate from Alabama. Like, whoa, how did that happen? Well, it happened, of course, with the special election and Roy Moore, and, you know, it was something Roy Moore couldn't even undo. So, but at the same time, you wonder, could their money be spent better somewhere else, with this being pretty much a lost cause?
Mm-hmm.
Doug Jones people are going to jump on me about that. I'm not saying don't vote for Doug Jones if you wish to vote for Doug Jones. What I'm saying is the chances are not enough of your neighbors are going to do the same for him to actually win the election.
It's certainly a lot of out-of-state money. And Yellowhammer News, they looked at the individual contributions that Jones received in that third period. They said that about 82.7% came from out of state, compared to 17.3% from Alabamians. And he actually got more individual itemized contributions from California residents than from Alabama residents.
There you go.
Raised nearly $1 million from residents of California. And you combine California, New York, and D.C., that makes up 41% of Jones' total itemized individual contributions. So he's getting a lot of out of state money. But I'm wondering, is that money going into his campaign specifically for him to win this Senate election, or is it part of the larger picture for the Democrats who are trying to just do more advertising basically on behalf of the Democrats? And I know they're, even though right now the polls are looking good, if you are a Democrat, they're really wanting to beef up those, not just the Electoral College votes, but also the popular vote, because we saw that used after Hillary Clinton lost in 2016 to Trump. That's a card that you could carry and say, hey, might have lost the electoral, but we won the popular vote. So not sure what the exact intent is for all this money that continues to be poured into the Jones campaign, but you look at some of the more recent polls, and Tuberville seems like he may sail right through this with a double-digit poll lead right now.
And no debate.
And no debate.
No debate. Not necessary for him to debate. No conversation with Sean Sullivan with Tuberville?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's kind of been media. And there are some people that have said Tuberville has been media silent and that he hasn't done any interviews. That's also untrue. He has done an interview here or there, and he's been, you know, traveling around the state and campaigning, shaking hands, but not the huge push that you would expect that he would have needed to come in and win this. But it's kind of rare that you don't have a debate, and it's not the incumbent who refuses to debate.
Exactly.
And who knows, maybe Doug Jones would refuse to debate as well, but at least what he's able to do is say that he's not the one refusing to debate.
No.
And why should Tuberville, if he has such a huge lead?
No, Doug Jones would be... Doug Jones is dying to debate. He's dying to debate, and Tuberville doesn't need to, so he won't. He was a guest on the Jeff Poor Show, Tuberville. So
yes.
He's been on FM Talk 106.5, just not with the grand poobah, Sean Sullivan.
Yeah.
Where they had some sort of a falling out. I don't know. Sean's not even sure what happened.
Yeah, he came on the air right after announcing he was running for Senate. But, you know, again, he's got a pretty good lead, and I've seen some Tuberville flags and signs out there. I've also seen a lot of Doug Jones signs, but doesn't seem like it'll make much of a difference here in 15 days for Doug Jones.
What is a family vacation without a trip to the hospital? Congratulations.
Thank you. Man, I couldn't believe it. So we left here, went to Savannah, saw the in-laws, and around that time, the daughter and I both experiencing cold symptoms.
Okay.
Not coronavirus symptoms. We were checking those very carefully, but we're both stuffed up, you know, and she was wearing it a lot worse than I was because she's a year and a half old. So we drive down from Savannah to Jacksonville last Sunday, and her fever spiked up to 105 degrees.
Gosh.
And this has happened before. My daughter had a what they call a febrile seizure, which I guess happens in a small percentage of children under the age of 2 years old. They get a fever their body can't keep up with, and they literally go into a seizure. For her, she stopped moving. This was back in March. So we were worried about that. Saw the fever spike, took her to the hospital literally right across the bridge from where we were. It was like a five-minute drive for us. Stayed in the hospital for a few hours Sunday night with her and get her back. We start our vacation in earnest the next day. And then after eating at an awesome Morton's Steakhouse in Jacksonville.
Look at you, Dalton.
Oh, spent so much money, which is why I'm back at work right now. Then my wife, who's pregnant, with our second one on the way, she gets an awful back pain, something she's, you know, she's felt before, but this was more pain. So night two, we go back to the hospital, this time for my wife, who they cleared up her problems, but she was having some pregnancy pain issues. So first two nights in Jacksonville, two nights in the hospital for one, my daughter, and then my wife the second night.
There's no postcard for that.
No.
They don't, they sell, sometimes they'll sell postcards in the hospital, but it's not about the hospital. It's about places around town.
We will be getting a postcard from the hospital. It's going to have a dollar amount on the bottom of it, and it's going to say how much we owe them for spending two nights, even though we had a perfectly nice hotel room across the river, spent the first two nights in the hospital.
So would you have gone all in at Morton's Steakhouse had you known that these bills are going to be rolling your way from the hospital in Jacksonville?
We ate at two steakhouses two nights in a row and then a fancy seafood place. We ate lobster mac and cheese three nights in a row. That's how high roller we were this week. We had saved up enough money that we ate lobster mac and cheese three nights in a row.
What was the second steakhouse?
It was a Ruth's Chris.
You went to Morton's and Ruth's Chris two consecutive nights?
We did.
I got it. We've got to huddle up and talk.
In other news, it's time for me to hop back on the diet train.
No kidding, yeah. FM Talk 106.5. Dalton's going to hit the exercise bike right now. You can see, I've got it set up over there in the corner. We've got Jeff Poore on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.